some time from something less important.
Don't spoil or over-pamper the newcomer. This is one circumstance that has already contributed to his or her drinking in the past. More slips occur because of too much pampering than because of too much neglect. It is too hard to determine what is too much or too little in general, and there is only one way to determine what and how much is the need of new pigeons. Stop. Ask for the right answer in a prayer, and then act. The results then are truly in the hands of God where they should be.
Don't be a one-call-that's-all individual. If you don't plan on following through on a call, don't go on the initial call. Why spoil someone else's opportunity, someone who is seriously looking for someone to work with?
Don't expect success with everyone, and don't fear failure. God, that's important. You know, you may not succeed for dozens of them, hundreds maybe, but don't fear the failure of it, because you're not failing. You're still carrying the message, and you're sober.
Don't brag to the new member about our sobriety. Don't brag about the wonderful guys and gals in the group. We should not indicate or expound on the fact that there are big shots in the group, socially or otherwise. Don't sell AA. Alcoholics Anonymous is a program of attraction, not promotion.
Don't exclude anyone. If you are humble, honest, and sincere, you will sponsor anyone who asks, whether they are black, white, yellow, green, red, purple, blue, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, coming off a drunk or completely sober, rich or poor. Sometimes it is said that it is no use working with a certain man because he has not hit bottom. What is meant by hitting bottom cannot be defined, except in the case of death. That's real bottom.
That's a low bottom.
Sobered up. That's getting sober the hard way. What one may consider bottom to another may seem pretty well up the ladder. We may also feel that it is a foolish concern, irrelevant and ineffective, to try to have someone of equal social status or profession to make the call. The effectiveness of the AA approach lies in one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, not a lawyer talking to a lawyer, or a doctor talking to a doctor, or a clergyman talking to a clergyman. It is good to have women talking to women and men talking to men, but I know a story about these guys that made a 12-step call on this guy. He was a judge. He was a judge out in Montgomery County, Maryland. And they came, and he was lying. There's a whole bunch of silk pillows around, and he was lying on this real thick carpet with his head on these silk pillows, and this was one sick guy. And he looked up at these guys, and he said, he had asked when they called about the 12 steps, he said, send me a person of my equal social and professional status. So he was lying there with his head on these silk pillows, just drunk, and these two guys leaned over him, and he said, are one of you of equal importance in social status and professional level? And this guy named Buck looked down at him and said, nope, we couldn't find any drunk judges. So it's kind of silly, isn't it? Sometimes we do get another doctor in AA to initially speak to another doctor who has a drinking problem, but that is only as an alcoholic trying to break down the rationalization and intellect of the other. A person with an extraordinarily high intellect is one of the hardest to work with. Amen.
Dispense no medicine. This cannot be stressed enough, for in many instances, a lot of harm and even death has been caused by self-appointed doctors of Alcoholics Anonymous. Besides, giving a drinking alcoholic any kind of pill could cause death. No layman is able to tell whether medication is needed or is safe. Only a doctor can do that. All we know is alcoholism. If you feel that the new member needs something to steady him or to relax him, give him a shot or two of booze. He might get a little drunker, but it won't kill him.
Don't make sudden decisions as to whether the newcomer is very sick or very drunk. When there is doubt, call in a doctor. The man might need hospitalization, and by making the wrong decision, you might cause a lot of harm.
Don't practice what you're going to say to a new drunk. Tell him what's happened to you. You know that better than anybody else. We do not sell or promote the program. Our program is based on attraction.
Don't give professional advice. Much harm is done by so-called lay doctors or lay psychiatrists assuming these professional roles. If the prospect asks for advice pertaining either to medicine or psychiatry, don't be a know-it-all. Take it upon yourself to explain these matters. You only get the poor fellow more confused and might be the cause of sending him to the nut ward.
Don't go alone on calls if at all possible. There are several very sound reasons for this. In the first place, it's prudent security. For we can never know what circumstances we're going to encounter. And many, many times, having someone along is self-protection, morally, physically, and legally.
Don't give money on calls. Our own charity shall dictate who to help and who not to help financially, but it should never be given to the individual who is still drinking or just coming off a binge.
Give it to a third party and let them do it. If there's a definite need, man should not sponsor woman and woman should not sponsor man. It's a very serious harm, moral and otherwise, can come from such a procedure. Man sponsors woman, woman falls for man falls for woman, they both fall, period. You know, doing this, what it does is really it creates new and delightful material for a fourth step, the next one.
Don't preach or moralize. Oh, boy, I don't know how you are, but I just love to preach. You know, I'm just such a good preacher. Let's keep in mind that most alcoholics have been subjected to preachments and moralizations thousands of times by experts, but it didn't work, didn't stick. Let's get him sober first, physically and mentally. Then let God do the moralizing and preaching through ministers.
Don't avoid or apologize for God. Don't be afraid to bring up the subject of God to the newcomer. Give him something to reach for, something to look up to help. The Big Book tells you how to bring God in the picture.
Don't look down on the newcomer. We are not helping a poor drunk. We are not sobering up a poor slob. We are making the calls to help ourselves. We can and should feel genuine sorrow for the plight of the individual coming off a drunk with a terrific hangover and pain. We can empathize with him, but never be patronizing. Don't forget, we need him more than he needs us.
Don't force sobriety. It just can't be done permanently.
Don't make promises. It's a false premise to indicate to a newcomer what the future will bring if they join AA. Don't tell him he's going to get a Cadillac. Don't tell him he's going to get a new house or a new job or even a new lady. You know, it won't work. We can't guarantee that the new member will get his job back or make a lot of money or anything. All we know is that if he follows the program sincerely and honestly without any reservations, he will stay sober and he will become happy in his circumstances. A will give him peace of mind, serenity, sobriety, but not necessarily riches.
Don't forget to let the new member and his family know how to get in touch with you. If you hesitate to do this for fear of being unduly disturbed, then it's better not to make the call. It's ridiculous to only tell the person your first name and that you are from A&A. This anonymity bit pertains not only, a correction, only to the public level of radio, press, movies, and television. If you don't tell him your last name and give him your phone number and address, how in the world is he going to find you if he needs you? How much can you tell him about yourself if you don't reveal self? This is a great problem among some groups. They know each other by their first name and last initial. That's all. How can they help each other? How can they call one another if needed to help someone else?
Don't prognosticate. Have you the power to see into the future development of a human being? I'd like to, but I don't. Don't try to prophesy as to who will or will not make the program. We all do this after being sober for a while, but the longer we are in AA, the more we realize how impossible it is to pin the label of success or failure on a newcomer. After being 99 9/10 wrong, we start to realize this and then start assuming a sensible attitude. As Dr. Johnson put it, remember, God himself, sir, does not propose to judge man until the end of his days. Why should you and I? There is one and only one future we can predict for the newcomer, and that is if he follows the AA program sincerely, he will make it, no matter who he is, whatever his background is, whatever his problems are. All that is needed is willingness and nothing else.
Don't tell a newcomer he or she is alcoholic or not. Much damage and many slips have resulted in some wise guys judging that so-and-so is not alcoholic. Some years back, a lot of slips were caused because some old fuddy-duddy in his self-appropriated wisdom couple of younger people who began coming to AA that they couldn't be alcoholics because they were too young or hadn't consumed enough liquor to be one. When an asinine statement such as this is told to anyone who thinks that they have a drinking problem, there's only one outcome for sure. He or she will go out and find out the hard way. The only one to make this judgment is the individual himself. If a person states that he or she is an alcoholic, he or she is ready for AA.
We have to know our limits. You know, sometimes I think that's a good reason for going with two people, because one of us can carry the message and the other can carry the bag. You know, sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, and you try to find somebody who's up or down, whichever way you are, and it'll help both of you. So know your limits.
Don't neglect the alcoholic's physical needs. This fact is many times sadly neglected in sponsorship. A lot can be done to smooth out the first weeks or months for the newcomer by explaining and stressing the fact that the body has a lot to do with the alcoholic sickness, and that the average body needs a lot of nutritive reconditioning and readjustment. We should also point out that most of his or her physical symptoms that are frightening in the beginning of sobriety will eventually level off and clear up. Tell him that his body and nerves are readjusting to function without alcohol. Tell him or her not to think or worry about these inner reactions, and that if he or she persists in doing just this, it might accentuate the problems already present. A competent doctor, one who is thoroughly acquainted with alcoholism and its particular needs, if needed, can help a lot in the leveling off and readjustment of the body. So even though the newcomer doesn't need hospitalization, he should consult a competent physician after he quits drinking. And it is the course of a wise sponsor to guide the newcomer to a doctor who is familiar with alcoholism. And I, for one, would like to thank you very much. I would like to thank the Barksdale Group for asking us to come down and share our experience, strength, and hope with you. And I know that I have learned a lot today in reviewing and relearning some of those things that I have forgotten, and I hope that you have learned something else also. You know, it's always to my experience to know and to understand that wherever I go, that I'm going to gain something from what I do, and I'm going to gain something from those people around me. And I have grown a bit today, and I want to thank you again for asking me and to share my experience, strength, and hope with you.
A last word from me. One of the things that Dr. Bob said that boiled down to its simplest what Alcoholics Anonymous was love and service. And that sponsorship is love and service. It is love and service in action. Thanks very much. We are passing the basket. There are some expenses incurred in a thing like this. It does not call the sponsor. Should the sponsor call the pigeon to check on him or her? I make it a practice to call three different times. In other words, if I don't hear from somebody for a while, I will call them once, and then if I don't hear from them, I'll call them three different times. And then I figure that they're trying to tell me to buzz off, and I ought to just leave them alone. Basically, that's it. And, of course, when it develops into a friendship, you call each other anyway, you know. I don't remember if it was one of your kids. No, it was somebody else's kids that climbed up on the counter and ate a whole bunch of Alka-Seltzer one time, and they called me and wanted to know what to do, and I said, burp them, I guess. I don't know. Do you always take someone to the hospital or treatment center before AA? No, I take them to AA, and then if they have too much trouble staying sober and I really can't see that they're getting anything, then I will put them in the hospital because I figure I can't do anything at that point. Are activities, seminars, making posters, coffee, etc., necessary for sobriety? Well, I know people that have stayed sober without doing that, but they're real sad asses. Do you go to the same meetings that your pigeons do? Well, in my case, usually, yes. Not all of them, though. You know, I sponsor some people that live way across town. And they usually call me a week or so, and I see them at functions and things, but they don't go to the same meetings that I do. But they have also been sober for a while. If they're new, I like to see them at meetings, because that way they feel better, too.
I like this question. It has such a great answer to it. What if you do your fifth step with your sponsor and she or he gets drunk? Make a 12-step call on them. If someone says they don't have a sponsor, is it okay to offer to be their sponsor, temporary or permanent? Yes. When do you consider a newcomer not new? When they've been sober longer than I have. And you know, there's another question that usually comes up to these things, and I don't know if it's come up or not, but I haven't seen it, and it is, do you ever think there's a time when you outgrow your sponsor? And I think that that's a very good question. I think it's a very valid question. And I would like to answer that in two ways. The first place, I would like to tell you that no one I have ever sponsored has outgrown me. And I say that because they may have changed sponsors, but I don't think that they outgrew me, because they haven't had the experiences in AA that I have had. When you have all of the experiences that your sponsor has had in AA, then certainly you have outgrown them, and there's no question about that. But until such a time as you've experienced what they have experienced, you can't outgrow them. And I'll say another thing. I changed sponsors not too long ago, about a year ago. And I changed sponsors for a very simple reason. It wasn't anything complicated at all about it. I changed sponsors because I thought that my sponsor that I had had for many, many years had become a good friend. And when I talked to Clancy and I said, I would like for you to sponsor me, and he and I were good friends and had been for years, the first thing he said to me is, I am no longer your friend. I am your sponsor. And I said, oh, yes, you are. And he said, you do understand, don't you? And I said, yes, I understand. Because what that means is I'm willing to let him guide me and to direct me in the directions that I need to go. And we can have a friendship at the same time, something that is interdependent upon each other. And we have that. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way I want it to be. I don't know if there are any other questions. Are there any that anyone didn't bring up? My God, Peggy, we did it. We told them everything. Thank you.